Gaetz, the biggest firebrand inside of the House of Representatives.
You're not taking Matt Gaetz off the board, okay? Because Matt Gaetz is an American patriot and Matt Gaetz is an American hero.
We will not continue to allow the Uniparty to run this town without a fight.
I want to thank you, Matt Gaetz, for holding the line.
Matt Gaetz is a courageous man. If we had hundreds of Matt Gaetz in D.C., the country turns around. It's that simple.
He's so tough. He's so strong. He's smart, and he loves this country. Matt Gaetz.
It is the honor of my life to fight alongside each and every one of you. We will save America. It's Choose Your Fighter time. Send in the firebrands.
Welcome back to Firebrand. That was the scene outside of the State of the Union at the U.S. Capitol last evening as Joe Biden delivered the address on the state of the nation, or really the state of his political life and political campaign. It certainly had 2024 contest energy more so than a true update as to what was going on with the country. Kimberly on Facebook says she can't tell what's worse, the yelling or the whispering. Terry says, definitely the yelling. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are live broadcasting out of room 2021 of the Rayburn House Office Building here at the Capitol Complex in Washington, D.C. And thank you for tuning in from South Carolina, Florida, Massachusetts, Washington State. We're glad you're here. I'm going to be breaking down the State of the Union, what the signals and tells are, the various things that Joe Biden mentioned in his remarks. And I thought it was noteworthy that we invited Biden to give the State of the Union, and he did, I guess, as to the Union of Ukraine. The guy gets there, and rather than talking about America first, he launches into this big explanation about Ukraine. And like when you start the State of the Union speech by saying, it is democracy that is at issue. I'm here to give a speech about democracy. And I'm starting with a country that just canceled its presidential elections. And oh, by the way, here, a bunch of Biden's allies are trying to take Trump off the ballot. So it was interesting. Take a listen.
Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that it needs to defend itself. That is all. That is all Ukraine is asking. They're not asking for American soldiers. In fact, there are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine, and I'm determined to keep it that way. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. It wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable. I say this to Congress. We have to stand up to Putin. Send me a bipartisan national security bill. History is literally watching. History is watching. If the United States walks away, it will put Ukraine at risk. Europe is at risk. The free world will be at risk, emboldening others to do what they wish to do us harm. My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away.
We're back live. I thought this was interesting because Trump is going to be able to present, in contrast with Joe Biden, 4 years where Vladimir Putin didn't invade anyone. Like when Donald Trump was president, even the dictators were on their best behavior because Trump was not predictable. And here you have Joe Biden creating moral hazard in Europe by saying the United States will forever float the cost of this war. You know what? The war will end when the European democracies want it to end, because they're the ones funding the war through the purchase of Russian oil and gas. And so Joe Biden trying to lash the future of the United States, the future of Ukraine, I think does our nation a great disservice. And I don't really get the sense that independents are going to be breaking for him on this. America tires of this type of war without a clear definition of victory. Remember, for all the criticism folks want to lodge at Mike Johnson, he at least said to the administration, there's not going to be more Ukraine money if you're not able to answer the questions about what it is we're trying to win there. And there's a lot of divergence of opinion on that, even between the United States and Ukraine. Joe Biden also had a lot to say about COVID. Remember that thing that caused us to lock up the country, destroy lives, impact mental health, drive people deeper into addiction, depression. We did all that for something the CDC now says you can just wait until 24 hours after your fever subsides to return back to social contact. So just like the common cold or the flu, Joe Biden had a lot to say about COVID last night. Take a listen.
4 years ago, next week, before I came to office, the country was hit by the worst pandemic and the worst economic crisis in a century. Remember the fear, record losses. Remember the spikes in crime and the murder rate, raging virus that took more than 1 million American lives of loved ones, millions left behind. A mental health crisis of isolation and loneliness. A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news, but in news in 1,000 cities and towns, the American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told. So let's tell the story here. Tell it here and now. America's comeback is building the future of American possibilities, building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down, investing in all America, in all Americans, to make every sure everyone has a fair shot, and we leave no one behind. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does. That's what America does.
If we're back live, I'm not entirely sure that the claim that the COVID vaccine is going to cure cancer is going to particularly age well. We continue to discover more and more vaccine injuries that the government is working alongside Big Pharma to cover up. And so I don't know that that's a comeback so much as yet another setback that is compounded by the poor decisions we made to extend liability protections to these vaccine manufacturers during the CARES Act. Now, Patricia on YouTube says the best part of the night was MTG yelling. That's a sentiment I've heard from a lot of people. Kim on Rumble says Mike Johnson's way better than Kevin McCarthy, but disappointed he was nodding way too much. I don't know. I thought Mike Johnson had a dismissive energy around some of the claims that Biden was making, kind of rolling his eyes, nodding, certainly more respectful, I should say, than Nancy Pelosi ripping up President Trump's speech, which actually, as it turns out, is a crime and super frowned upon. So when things are looking bad for Democrats, you can always rely on them to return to the traditional scare tactic that they use around Social Security and Medicare. That's how they get seniors to vote against, at times, their own interests, the interests of the country, even the long-term health of those very programs. Joe Biden did not spare comment on Social Security and Medicare last evening. Take a listen.
Many of my friends on the other side of the aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block. If anyone here tries to cut Social Security, Medicare, or raise the retirement age, I will stop you. The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. I will. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealthy. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Our Getter live stream is fired up. King saying, let this man rest in peace in a nursing home. Why drag him out to give the State of the Union? And Dixie on Getter wanting to know why Hunter Biden was not sitting in the family section. I don't know if he got the invite here. He certainly got the invite when we were asking him questions in his deposition regarding these bribes masquerading as business transactions. Joe Biden, I don't think, is going to be running an election on Social Security and Medicare. The Republicans haven't advanced any program, proposal, or idea that would harm those programs. If anything, we want to ensure their sustainability for the long term for those who rely on them. And while there's a lot we can do on Medicaid to block grant that program, to allow states to have the opportunity to be more flexible and to try innovations to lower the cost of healthcare, we see right now a Medicaid system that is less capable of meeting the needs of the vulnerable because we've plowed so many additional illegal aliens onto the Medicaid products in states and the like. So a lot of work to be done on those things. But Joe Biden demonstrating the need to draw from a very old playbook because there are not a lot of new innovative plays in there if you're Joe Biden and the economy is failing as it currently is. Now, the inflation issue is one that dogs the president. Inflation has been skyrocketing. It's impacted the family budget of just about every working class family in the country. And it's also resulted in changes to how people buy cars, buy homes, and really execute on the principal factors of their lives. Joe Biden thinks the answer to inflation is to print more money and give it out. Take a listen.
I know the cost of housing is so important to you. If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well, and the Fed acknowledges that. But I'm not waiting. I want to provide an annual tax credit that will give Americans $400 a month for the next 2 years as mortgage rates come down, to put toward their mortgages when they buy their first home or trade up for a little more space. Just for 2 years.
Utilizing the government to plow more money into the economy when you have limited inventory in terms of homes relative to the demand, when you've brought 10 million people across the border illegally, that is inherently inflationary. Of course, home prices will continue to rise if we create government programs that subsidize these first-time home buyers. And I'm not unsympathetic to the cause, but the right answer is actually to reduce our spending, reduce our debt. That will bring down interest rates. That will give us the ability to access capital to live the American dream. And if you just keep subsidizing it, you're digging the hole deeper. You're driving up the debts. There was no pay for that program. It would cost a fortune. And by the way, when Joe Biden talks about people who are first-time home buyers or people who are upgrading their home, what about people who downsize? We have a lot of seniors in Florida who are empty nesters, who don't need as much space in retirement. Is every Florida retiree going to be subsidizing somebody else's home purchase? That's crazy. But it's the type of thing you see floated, and it shows a basic misunderstanding of core economic theory. There's also a misunderstanding of the border that we see with Joe Biden. And we all remember when Joe Biden raised his hand, said he wanted to give free health care to illegal aliens. We remember when he boasted about repealing the Trump policies that were working on the border. Now Joe Biden says it's the Republicans to blame. Even though we passed bills, even though we supported President Trump's actions on the border, he blames the Republicans for the open border he created. Take a listen.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. I believe that given the opportunity for a majority in the House and Senate would endorse the bill as well, a majority right now. But unfortunately, politics has derailed this bill so far. I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
We're back live. Born Free on Getter says this is all because Joe Biden is creating housing for illegals. And there's no question that would be a substantial draw to someone who didn't have shelter. If they knew if they came into our country illegally, it would be provided by the American taxpayer. Second, Lincoln Riley is the football coach of the University of Southern California. Lakin Riley was the nursing student who was savagely murdered by an illegal alien in Georgia on a run. So Joe Biden couldn't tell the slain nursing student from the football coach in Southern California. Be that as it may, there was a lot of stir over the fact that Joe Biden used the term illegals, right? They are illegals. You get a guy in his 80s talking and you're going to hear some things. The squad, like, you about had to go and wake them up with smelling salts after Joe Biden talked about that. And then there was that passing reference Joe Biden made to the thousands of people who are the victims of crimes of illegal aliens. And I don't think that's doing the work for him that he thinks it is, because it only showcases the cost, the collateral damage that their administration is willing to endure in order to keep an open border and get people into the cities, the sanctuary cities, where the folks have been fleeing because it's too unsafe, because economic conditions are deteriorating, and because the majesty of America's great places does not thrive under the leftist socialist policies that have been visited on places like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Once incredible places, once centers of innovation and art and growth, and now they look more like the third world. Speaking of some of the problems in the third world, we look at Gaza right now as a dire situation, and we feel for the people who are starving there, who are having failures of their organs because the only water to drink is salt water. That is a terrible way to die. That's a terrible way to live. Now, of course, we don't want to be giving aid that can be diverted by Hamas to extend the carnage of this conflict. But at the same time, it cannot be tenable that there's no ability for Arab countries, not the United States, but for Arab countries to be able to get true aid vetted, scanned, and cleared to the desperate and dying people in Gaza. Now, Joe Biden has a different prescription for this. Predictably, it's nation building at your expense, your money, your brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, building a port in Gaza. Take a listen.
The United States has been leading international efforts to get more humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza that can receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
How does that even work? How are we going to build a port in Gaza without boots on the ground? Who's going to build it? And do you think anybody's going to go build this port in Gaza without some protection, without some security? You saw what happened to those aid workers when they were driving aid in on trucks. They were swarmed. You have hundreds of thousands of people who are desperate and dying. It's not a good situation to just drop a contracting crew in and hope everything goes well. So you're going to have security for them. Then you're going to have exfil. You're going to have people planning for any type of extraction that needs to happen for contractors or security personnel if the situation breaks bad very quickly. So then that's another feature of what you've got to have. This could be like Black Hawk Down meets Gulf of Tonkin as we're trying to construct some port in Gaza. And again, I cannot stress enough how sympathetic I am to the plight of innocent people there. But this is not the answer. The answer is to have these rich Gulf monarchies, Arab countries, facilitate aid into the country and to not have that aid come through the crux of conflict and bombs dropping. We hope for better days in Gaza, in Israel, in Judea and Samaria. But until then, we cannot allow this to become a tinderbox that spills over into some regional or global war. That would not be in America's interests or Israel's interests or in the interests of the people who live in Gaza. Thank you so much for joining me. One of the funny comments we had on the live stream was that folks were happy to listen to me, but if they had to listen to Joe Biden this much in the episode, they were tuning out. And I get it, but you know what? You need to know what's happening. You need to know what's going on. And of course, how the other side lays out their argument tells us a lot about how we have to approach the major problems facing the country, and that is indeed what we will do. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, the best way to consume the program is to download the Rumble app, turn notifications on. That way you know every time we go live. Roll the credits.